In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
And we welcome our guests who are visiting with us today. For those who are not regular members of our parish or maybe haven't been here before, ordinarily in the Orthodox Church we preach on the Sunday Gospel, but of late I've been preaching on the Resurrection Gospels that we hear at Matins. And so our Gospel this particular Sunday was the first of the Resurrection Matins Gospels in the cycle, and it is the proclamation of Jesus to the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, giving them this mission to carry out in the world the preaching of the gospel. And it's interesting that this is the first Matins Gospel, and it sort of sets the tone for the whole of the apostolic work of the church. And a reminder, we hear this particular gospel every Sunday, once every 11 Sundays. And so it should never be very far for us what this mission is. I was reflecting a little bit upon something somewhat related to this this week as when I was visiting Pennsylvania. When I was growing up there was a pilgrimage that was held at the Byzantine Catholic Monastery in Uniontown, Pennsylvania, and this goes on Labor Day weekend. It was originally over the Dormition feast day on the old calendar. And this pilgrimage, or they called Outpost, which was a pilgrimage to the venerate an icon of the God-bearer that was kept at that monastery. And it reminded me of just how pilgrimages were a very important part and are a very important part of Christianity and of Orthodoxy. In particular, if you go back, once Christianity was free and people were actually able to proclaim the fact that they were Christians without getting skewered on the way on their journey, in the time of Constantine, the notion of pilgrimage began to develop, and especially with the building of the holy churches in Jerusalem and the discovery of the holy sites, pilgrimages became a destination. If you were a Christian, this is where you wanted to go. And this is not unique just to Christianity, certainly in Islam, there's the pilgrimage to Mecca and whatnot, that there's just this sense of destination, of journey, of going forth into the world. And so this sort of parallels our own gospel here today, this notion of the pilgrimage. Pilgrimage, it can actually be a very good image for us of what Christian life is as a whole is. The Christian life is a pilgrimage. Now, I don't know. Have you ever thought of your life in that way? Has anybody ever thought of their life in that way? Did you really think about it, what that means? That your life is actually a pilgrimage. You know, a pilgrimage is a place where you kind of set out for. It has a destination. It has an end point. You see, I don't think we think of life in those terms. I think we think of life in terms of, well, I got to get up in the morning, I got to take care of my job, I got to feed the animals, I got to do all of the stuff of daily life. And maybe if you're kind of advanced in your thinking, you think, well, okay, I'm going to have a plan, and so therefore I'm going to have a career, and I hope to have a family, and, 2.0 children, or financial plan, and all of these other kinds of things that we set out as our destination in life, and we may accomplish some, we may not. We will set our goals, though, based upon that plan. A pilgrimage, on the other hand, it really has one destination, and you either get there or you don't. And of course, the important thing is that it's not only just arriving, but it's what you do on the way that is important. I was thinking of the pilgrimage that the women made to the tomb at the very beginning of the Resurrection Gospels. The preparation that was involved. If you go to a pilgrimage, you first of all, take comfortable shoes. Because you're going to be doing a lot of walking and standing. And, being comfortable clothing and, just provisions for the journey. This is important. This notion of preparation, you don't just pick up and go. Well, some people do, the young people especially, but I think as you get older, you realize that it's a good idea to prepare a few things before you take off, especially if you have responsibilities. You see, this notion then of our beginning is important, the beginning of the pilgrimage. The pilgrimage of the disciples, they understood this. They saw their life as a journey to the fulfillment of God's will in their life. And oh, by the way, they were given a blueprint in today's gospel of what God's will looked like. And it involved their work, their journey, their participation in this spiritual journey, which was Christ's work on earth. This was their pilgrimage, and they would literally go all over the world because Christ sent them there. They would go to these destinations, which, interestingly enough, places like the Crimea or India or Alexandria or Egypt or Rome, these places became destinations, not necessarily because there were holy things there already, but they were bringing the holiness of God to these places by bringing the Christian message. And so it is with us. And ultimately, what they would find, what the apostles would find, is that Christ had already beat them there. That Christ was already preparing in places like Rome, Christians who would somehow get word of who Jesus was. And so when they arrived, their hearts would be open to receive the preaching and the teaching, and to be brought into the mysteries of the faith. So this journey then for the apostles was one which was defined by their mission and by their participation in the church. Their participation in hearing communally and collectively this command from the Lord Jesus' lips himself. Go. Go in my name. Go as a body. You see, even though they went scattered in different directions all over the world, their destination was the same, because they were going to Christ and they were going together. There was always this sense of the apostolic community as being together. We only hear, I think, of one time, when they actually got together again after the resurrection and after Pentecost. One was the Council of Jerusalem. And the other, the dormition of the God-bearer, in which they were gathered miraculously. The rest of the time, they were on their pilgrimage. They were carrying out their mission. You see, the pilgrimage, much of the pilgrimage, is the actual work that you do along the way. And that's why walking was always such an important part of pilgrimage, was this notion that as you approached the Lord, as you ascended the holy mountain, that process of the ascent, like Moses climbing the mountain, this was a spiritual purification. And certainly the apostles received this in the course of their life. We heard in the epistle reading this morning St. Paul's reflection on that, how he was the least of the apostles, but nevertheless called on this journey to go. So I want to invite you for a moment to think about your own journey, and whether you're making this journey, or a journey, or where are you going? Are you going with the church? Are you going where the church is going? Where the apostolic community has led you? You know, if we're on a pilgrimage, then we're going to listen to the Lord's words, because it's the Lord's words that are the ones that tell us our direction. We're going to pray to him to seek guidance along the way. And the fact is that many people start on the journey of spiritual life and never conclude. Or they conclude badly. They quit the journey. They stop. Stop going. They stop praying. They stop listening. They begin to tell themselves that something else is more important, like the man in the gospel today. The riches are important. Career is important. More important. Yeah, I came into the faith and I began to follow Christ. But then these other things came up. And now seemingly they've come up and they're overwhelming me. It's not enough to start the journey. It must be completed. It must be completed well. For those of us who are getting older, we should ask ourselves, how close are we to our destination? You've been walking a long time. Are you getting anywhere? Are you seeking more clearly? You know, that's the notion of a pilgrimage as we get older in life. Guess what? You know, you get closer to the mountain. Guess what? It looks bigger. That's the good news and the bad news. It means you're closer, but also means sometimes as you get closer to the end of the journey, the mountain gets higher and more difficult to climb. But hopefully we've learned how to be nourished and fortified. We've brought provisions for the journey. We've learned that the Lord will show us the path up the mountain to his glory, as the apostles themselves would receive this. And ultimately their path led to a very difficult ascent, which was their martyrdom, their physical and bodily suffering unto death. But they completed the journey with joy. They complete the journey too in the course of, and I can tell you this as a priest. It's part of the experience of being a priest. Maybe you've had this in some way, you know, tangentially, but I can tell you that as a priest, that I'm thrust into this. And when you celebrate the mysteries, and I mean the mysteries of Holy Communion, and when you do what the apostles were told to do, baptize, and when you hear confessions, when you do what the apostles do and forgive people's sins, then guess what? You meet Christ along the way. Christ is there because Christ is the one who's forgiving sins. Christ is the one who is baptizing. Christ is the one who's celebrating the Eucharist. You see, the more that we get involved in the mission of the church and the ministry of the church, then these become ways of seeing the risen Lord at work and guiding us and instilling us with a sense of purpose that what we're doing and the direction we're going is worthwhile, that it's worth being a Christian, even being ostracized, even being out of step and out of tune sometimes with the world, even being criticized because your journey isn't going the same place everybody else is going. Nevertheless, if we are being attuned to this, and I will say as well in terms of charitable work, when you go and you do the charitable work of Christ in the name of the church, not just in your own name, but in the name of the church, and empowered by the church to do this, and I'll talk about that sometime, the difference between the two, that it's like Christ opens the doors as he did at the time of the resurrection. That's when the miracles happen, if our eyes are open. So you see then, brothers and sisters, while this commission was given to the apostles, this destination, it was not just their destination. This is the destination for us all as Christians. What we are invited to do, the way we're invited to follow Christ, and in walking this path, we discover the Lord and his leading of us to the fulfillment of our own personal pilgrimage, our own personal fulfillment in life. And no, it doesn't come from all of those things that come from the world. Ultimately, it only comes from Christ. You know where it goes? It goes to the same place that Mary's destination was, which was the tomb. It goes to the tomb of Christ. That's where our life goes. That's our pilgrimage destination. In the early days of Egeria, they all went to Jerusalem, to the tomb of Christ, to the place of the resurrection, because that's where it's happening. That's where our salvation is fulfilled. That's the end of the pilgrimage on this earth. Is our tomb. But our tomb becomes Christ's tomb because Christ is there and Christ will raise us up as he raised from the dead those who he raised at the time of his own falling asleep. In these different ways, then, is a great challenge. It's the challenge to remain faithful, and it's the challenge to step out and walk again. You know, sometimes as a pilgrim, you know, sometimes you get tired and you have to stop. You go. They used to have these little waysides. If you go through Europe, you see these little waysides, these little shrines. Right? You know, that's when people would stop. There's an icon there. You pray. You rest a little bit. Maybe take a little bit of refreshment, and then you go on. You know, maybe you've stopped, kind of for good, for a long time, with your spiritual life. Hear the words of Christ to you. Go forth. Join with this, the work of the church, and become a disciple. Become a disciple that you may make disciples of your children, of others, in the course of the Lord's fulfillment of the Lord's mission. I would say also next week that we will begin our church school. What is the church school? The church school is just making disciples of these little ones, teaching them. Their baptism has been taken care of, okay? For the most part, for most of them. Go, though, make disciples of them. Teach them all that I have commanded you. That work isn't done yet. And so that's why we have our church school. You see, this is our participation in this pilgrimage of the church. This work, this holy work of the church that will be manifest in wondrous ways, in healings, in the proclamation of the gospel, the renewal of our hearts, and ultimately the fulfillment and our arrival at our heavenly destination. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.